from the spoiler alerts category. Pretend the blinds in the film are theater curtains. They rise at the start and fall at the end with the smooth efficiency of a stage play. For the audience, everything is clearly demarcated. Our living room, his living room. Our neighbors milling about, his neighbors milling about. Note elements of the mise-en-scène. Courtyard, flower bed, fire escape. Note the extras, whom we now call background artists. Cat scurrying up the stairs. Sleeping man supine on his balcony. Woman brushing her hair before the bathroom mirror. And there's our protagonist in his wheelchair, left leg rigid in a cast. No chance of conflating ourselves with his story, which makes it a safe place to be scared. In fact, it's the kind of place a girl can follow her father to on a Saturday afternoon. Popcorn with I Can't Believe It's Not Butter Spray, Shasta and sweating cans, as they begin to lose their easy way with each other. No need to talk about anything but the movie, and no one in the audience to shush and scold them as they do. It's a grisly tale of dismemberment without a drop of blood. It's a sly romance without nudity. No covers undulating with the faintest suggestion of sex. Most of all, and what the girl won't realize for many years, it's the ultimate adventure in meta viewing. This prolonged occasion of watching someone who's watching someone who doesn't know he's being watched. Until the final 10 minutes, that is. Talk about a quick climax, but don't. You could argue that productions of stage and screen are consensual acts of voyeurism. The character doesn't know you're watching, but the actor does. In fact, the actor desperately hopes you are. His success depends on your unwillingness to turn away. But this one's different. The whole premise is how rubbery our human necks are. Bendier and bendier until they run the risk of being snapped. Jeffries isn't just bored in his last homebound week with nothing to do but gawk and stare. His long career as a photojournalist confirms he's a scopophile from the start, just as I am, just as you are. Remember the moment early on when he tells his nurse, "Right now I'd welcome trouble." Words he'll shortly wish to rescind. Well, I wanted it too, that trouble. A mystery to solve, a triumph to claim, some means of making myself useful. This longing to sleuth was something my father always humored in me. He played along with all the whodunits and howdunits and whys. It was easier, I suppose, than facing our actual mystery. My mother, his wife, the story we were living that we couldn't quite allow ourselves to believe. Jeff's nurse, Stella, tells him in a thoughtful moment, "I necessarily stow away. We've become a race of peeping Toms. What people ought to do is get outside their own house and look in for a change." I thought she meant it as a metaphor. Detect yourself. Maybe even meant it biblically. Take the plank out of your own eye, and so forth. But then I recalled those lines many years later, slumped down in my seat, idling in a car outside my parents' house before circling and circling the block. I couldn't go in, you see. I couldn't even consider the possibility of a knock. But I could watch. Around the corner was my grandmother's house. I saw the light on in her den, the room where she played solitaire, left the television blaring. She was hard of hearing in her old age, and I told myself I didn't want to scare her by pounding on a window in the dark. Convenient alibi for my own fragile heart. This film's arc spans only 4 days, while mine spans 20 years, continues still without an end in sight. No insight either. So when I say I was outside my own house looking in, I don't mean once, and I don't mean metaphorically. I mean every time I fly across the country, it's the first thing I do. Rent a car at SeaTac, take the back way down slick suburban streets, wet light puddling in potholes. No intention of going in. No point rehearsing what to say. Just looking. Just scanning the landscape for all the hard familiars. Camellia tree in the mezzanine. Weather vane that bears their changeless names. What if Jeffrey's inmost truth is that he actually wants to be seen, which is to say confronted, caught? He'll face his consequence in flashbulbs, a string of frantic lights. At least then, when he plummets, he'll be looking up, gaze locked with a knowing stranger's eyes. What is Rear Window? $1,000.